Good morning, everyone.
Thank you for greeting, Gail, and it's good to hear all your voices. Happy New Year.
So we have a special call for you today. It's one that I'm going to suspect, given your study of authentic power, that you haven't thought about before. But yet, as we begin to talk about it, see if you can determine what it has to do with authentic power. So what we're going to talk to you about this morning is acceptance and tolerance. What is the difference? Have you ever thought about whether you are someone who tolerates or someone who accepts?
That's a really good question. I've been thinking about that quite a bit. And I'm so glad we're talking about that today, beloved. So let's go on and talk about that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to suggest that acceptance is open-heartedness, that it is including, that it is bringing into your life whatever it is that you're accepting. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a situation. But the point is, there's no resistance to it. When you accept it, it comes into you, and you become a part of it, at least as far as you're concerned. You share its energy, you accept its energy. So, as we talk about authentic power, we talk about fear and love.
Can you just say a little bit more about that, beloved? I didn't quite understand what you meant by acceptance. Can you say that one more time?
Yes. If someone moves into your neighborhood and you go to meet your neighbor and you have no judgments about your neighbor and you have no resistance to your neighbor before you meet your neighbor or during your meeting with your neighbor, you're glad that your neighbor is in the neighborhood. You're glad to meet your neighbor. That is acceptance. Can you see there's an open quality about it? Acceptance is like standing in a beautiful meadow. Like Linda and I lived in Mount Shasta, and we would go to a beautiful meadow high on Mount Shasta. And there, the alpine spring would come in September, and we would stand in this beautiful meadow, and it would be lush and green, and there would be ice-cold glacial streams running through it, and all of the wildflowers were purple and yellow and red and blue and violet, and they would gently move in the breeze. And sometimes we'd lie down on the plush grass and it was so soft. And we soaked it all up. Now that's acceptance. That's acceptance. My heart was open. It was open to everything. And there would sometimes be other people in the meadow too. It was a large meadow. And they were part of what I was accepting. So does that answer your question?
So far, I probably will have more.
Okay. Now, what would be the difference between that and tolerating the meadow and tolerating the people who are in the meadow? Well, if I'm tolerating and if you're tolerating, you're not really open, are you? Because there's some things about what you're tolerating that you really don't care for, that you'd like to change, that you wish were changed. But for one reason or another, you're going to tolerate that. You're not going to try to change them in the moment with your words and with your actions. Although simply with the energy of tolerance, you are trying to change those things. So, tolerance involves judgment. You're judging something negatively, otherwise you wouldn't feel that you needed to tolerate it. Now let's go into the reasons for tolerating something. Suppose you have a family member, suppose it's an in-law, and suppose you've never really gotten along with this person because this person generally thinks about herself. It's not as though she's abusive, she just doesn't think about much except her needs. And whenever she calls, you know that she's calling because she wants something from you. At least you suspect it because you've never received a call from her offering to give something to you, offering to support you. A call saying, how are you? I just wanted to see how you are today. I've been thinking about you. Tell me about yourself. It usually it is, you know, I have a thought, and then comes the request. So suppose you tolerate this person because she's in your family and you want to keep peace in the family. In other words, you don't want to rock the boat. Suppose that you have a boss at work and the boss at work is not sensitive to you or to anyone really. Perhaps the boss is aggressive, pushy, domineering, and so you don't want to lose your job. So you tolerate your boss. You don't say the things that you might have said because you need your job, you want the benefits. That's tolerance. That's toleration. Now, when we speak of tolerance, perhaps there's someone in your neighborhood whose skin color you don't like, or who speaks a way you don't care for, or who has a religious belief that you don't. And this person keeps pushing that belief or trying to push that belief onto you. But you tolerate that person because you just as soon have peace in the neighborhood. You just as soon have peace in the family. You just as soon keep your job. Are you beginning to get the feel of tolerance? Tolerance is essentially a defensive stance. You have judgments about others, but for your own reasons, you don't attempt to change the other person. Now, what would those reasons be? Fear. You fear losing a family member. You fear perhaps that person politicking against you in the family. You fear losing your job. You fear not having peace in the neighborhood. All of this means you tolerate people. And that's what we generally do. We say, well, I think that person's a bigot, but I'll tolerate him. I think that that person should be Hindu when actually that person is Muslim, but I'll tolerate that person. But that's not the same as acceptance. That's not the same as opening your heart, as saying, come in, come on in, you're already in. Here I am. You're with me, and I'm with you. Tolerance is, well, I'd rather have you different than you are, but I'm going to be here, and I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to be polite, or I'm going to be civil. I want to close the deal. Now, why would anyone be uncivil, domineering, rude, self-centered? Because they're in fear. Because frightened parts of their personalities are active, and they're not challenging them. Maybe they don't have enough understanding to recognize what's happening inside of themselves. That's the way it is with most people. And that, by the way, is one of the blessings that you have for being in the masterclass immersion or being here in the life school. Because we are offering you a perception of life for you to look at and to try out on your own. The perception of parts of your personality not being the same as who you are. Who you are is a compassionate and loving, powerful and creative spirit. But you are also a personality in the Earth School, an energy tool that spirit, your soul, adapts for learning in the domain of physicalness. Mm-hmm. Now, all of this sounds metaphysical, and you can call it metaphysical because you can't measure it, take a picture of it, but you can experiment with it because you're becoming multisensory. You can experiment inside yourself to see if there really are such things as frightened and loving parts of your personality. Because we are teaching you that when frightened parts of your personality are active in you, you will feel painful physical sensations in your energy processing centers, which are your chakras. And when loving parts, and by the way, that means anger, jealousy, resentment, all of those painful emotional experiences. And we are teaching you that when love is present in you, when you are processing energy in love and trust, those same energy centers have pleasing physical sensations, good feeling physical sensations. And we're not saying this is the way things are, and if you want to stay here, this is what you're going to have to believe. We're saying this is a window through which we've come to see life. Would you care to take a look out the window? Maybe it'll be beneficial to you. Maybe it'll help you make your life more joyful. Maybe it'll make your life more accepting so that you won't have to tolerate people, so that you can just accept them. And when you accept them, then you begin to accept yourself. If you're tolerating people, you're tolerating yourself. When you're accepting people, you're accepting yourself. That means when frightened parts of your personality become active, you experience them. You accept them. That doesn't mean you don't want to change them. It means you don't want to act on them. In fact, you intend not to act on them. And even when they are strong and you act instead from a loving part of your personality, you create authentic power. So this is the picture, as you know, that we've been providing you. It's a picture that most people don't have yet. But within the next several generations, everybody will have it. Because there is an enormous, unprecedented transformation in human consciousness that is occurring now. It's not going to occur. It has occurred. We are in new territory. And we are describing for you this new territory so that you can experience it in yourself and describe it to others. And that doesn't mean try to proselytize others. It just means cultivate the love in you when it's active, and challenge the fear in you when it's active, so that eventually your personality becomes more loving and less fearful. And ultimately, you become one who is a presence of love in the Earth School instead of a presence of fear. Right now, you're both. And if you're like most people don't recognize when they're one or the other, when a frightened part of their personality is active, or when a loving part is active. Now, when a loving part is active, you are in the energy of acceptance. And when a frightened part of your personality is active and you don't strive to create external power, when you don't strive to manipulate and control them because you want to keep your job, keep peace in the family, have a friendly neighbor, then you're tolerating them. And if you look at it, you are manipulating them. You are pursuing external power.
Heart isn't open.
Your heart is not open.
Your heart isn't open. You know, I was thinking of a few things, beloved, about accepting. And I just want to talk about this because one thing that I've heard people say things like, I'm accepting all the parts of me. You know, I accept them all. But it always depends on the intention for why someone says that. Because if I'm accepting something. In other words, let's say I have something going on with me physically. I can accept that I have that going on with me, but not give up, not feel defeated, like, or feel like that's the way it has to be. You can set the intention to change it. So accepting is something to me that it depends on the intention. So I know the intention you're talking about, beloved, is that if you accept someone, that means you have your heart open to them. Or if you accept a situation, you're open to the possibility that things could also change. And when you say, I accept this, sometimes I've heard people also say, and I've done this in the past too, or I have to accept this. This is just the way it is. And then they give up. That's not what we're talking about. That's not an openness, that's not an open heart, that's a stance of really giving up your what you could actually do. So that's some of the things that are important to me.
That's beautiful, beloved, you're exactly right. Linda points out that, as always, intention is the primary determining factor. Your intention, not your action or your word, creates consequences, creates karma.
Yes.
So when you say, Like just as Linda was saying, sometimes people tell us when we say challenge or frighten part of their personality, say, oh no, I would never do that. I love all the parts of me. I accept who I am. Well, if they say, I accept who I am, in the sense that I have the courage and the clarity to look at what I'm feeling and to experience it, to look at the part of me that is angry, resentful, bitter, jealous, brutal. I have that courage to experience the part of me that can't stop watching pornography or looking for mindless sex. I have the courage to experience the part of me that can't stop eating or shopping or gambling or thinking about someone else who's going to be my savior. Then that is not helpful. That is not helpful because that means you are not willing to challenge the actions of that part of your personality. Can you experience those parts of your personality and challenge their actions by simply not embodying them and still love the person whose actions you are challenging?
I'm a little confused. Can you say that again, Blair?
Sure.
Just want to make sure I understand.
Sure. Can you be an activist, put it that way, an environmental activist? Can you challenge the policies and the actions of the industrial timber companies without making them villains, without hating the people who are doing these things and implementing these policies? Gandhi knew how to do that. Martin Luther King Jr. knew how to do that. He knew how to challenge the ugly, brutal, segregationist policies in the United States, our own homegrown version of apartheid, without making villains of anyone. Not even the sheriffs and their deputies with dogs and fire hoses. He had the courage not only to face them on the outside, but to face his own demons on the inside.
His own frightened parts.
His own.
That would have judged them and pushed
them away. That would have judged them.
And blamed them and acted from fear and anger.
That's right. Mahatma Gandhi, great soul, Gandhi, did not tolerate the British. He loved the British, and yet
he didn't tolerate their policies.
He did not tolerate. No. He challenged their policies.
Hmm.
He did not tolerate anything. His heart was open. He did not say, well,
yes,
this is a brutal, unfair, unjust policy, and I hate it. He simply challenged it in every effective way that he could think of, and he kept trying to think of more and more effective ways, which he did. And eventually, the British left India, because just as Gandhi had told them early in their interaction, the time will come when you will see that it's not possible for you to govern 350 million. Oh, pardon me, how many? You know, I've lost track of how many millions of people. 350 million is the United States. But India has got a hugely larger population. And Gandhi pointed out to the British, you cannot control a population this large unless they agree. We don't agree anymore. But we're not going to shoot you as you shoot us when you disagree. We're not going to beat you as you beat us. We're simply going to love you, and we're not going to support you in this policy. Now that is acceptance, that is courage, clarity, and compassion, that is authentic power. Can you do that? Yes, you can do that. You were born to do that. You were born to create authentic power. You were born to leave fear behind, to challenge it until it no longer controls you, and then it disappears, it disintegrates in your consciousness. You were born to cultivate love. You were born to recognize when a loving part of your personality is active, when you are accepting, when you are open, and to cultivate that, to cultivate it in the moment, so you don't think this is just a temporary and good feeling experience, or so that you don't forget it like a dream, but that you nurture it, feed it, cultivate it, just as though you're growing a crop, because you are. You're cultivating an inner garden, and you're weeding it. So, when someone says, pardon me, I accept all of who I am. I intend to accept all of who I am. Then, if that means you have no resistance to feeling the pain of powerlessness, that always comes hard, fast, and deep when you challenge a frightened part of your personality, when you are so angry you can hardly stand it and you don't speak in anger, and you put your attention instead inside yourself, then you will experience the pain of powerlessness. Then you will understand clearly the new use of courage. That can only happen as you accept who you are. But if you say, I accept who I am, because your intention is not to change yourself, because you have no intention of challenging the parts of your personality that create destructively, that's not helpful. It keeps you in the life that you're currently in. It keeps you unconscious. It justifies your unconscious decisions, your unconscious choices of intention, your unconscious creation of painful karma.
Yes, beloved. It always comes back to intention, doesn't it?
Yes,
is it
does.
Intention of fear, or is it intention of love? So no matter what words we use, if we use tolerance or acceptance, the most important thing is, what is the intention behind whatever you're saying and whatever you're doing, whatever action you're taking in particular? So what I'm thinking...
Well, from a five-sensory perspective, five-sensory humans are often proud of their tolerance. They even say everyone should be tolerant. We should tolerate each other. But from a multi-sensory perspective, you can see that's not going to take you very far, because you're trying to manipulate the other. You're trying to say, I'll be civil. I think I can get more by being civil. I'll be polite. I think I can get more by being polite. I won't say that I feel that what I'm being asked to do is unfair, because I think I have a better chance of keeping my job. So you are attempting to manipulate.
So these are all frightened parts of the personality.
All frightened
say
parts.
Things like this.
Correct. Tolerance comes from a frightened part of the personality. Mm-hmm. Five sensory individuals are proud of being tolerant. But when you see the energy dynamic that lies beneath tolerating something, and the difference between that energy and the energy of accepting it, of opening to it, of loving it, then you'll see that tolerance isn't all that it's made out to be. In fact, it's not at all. So if we want to change ourselves, we have to start by not tolerating the parts of ourselves that we know are destructive: anger, jealousy, addiction, compulsion, obsession, superiority and entitlement, needing to please and feeling inferior. We need to become aware of those. Accept them. Accept them in this way. Whenever you make a journey, there's two things you have to know before you can begin. Where you want to go is only one of them. Where you are now, where you begin the journey, is the other. For example, if you call an airline to make a reservation and you say, I want to go to Berlin. And she'll say, yes, sir. Do you know what she's going to ask you next? Where are you? Where are you leaving from? If you go to New York City and you're a visitor and you get lost and you can't find your way back to your friend who's house you're staying in, so you call her on your cell phone and you say, how do I get home? What's she going to ask you? First thing, very first thing, she's going to say, where are you? You're going to have to look around and find a street sign. You're going to have to say, well, I'm at Oh my goodness, I'm at Greenwich and 3rd Street. No, Avenue. And only when you can identify exactly where you are, can she then give you exactly the directions you need to have to get where you want to go. Well, it's the same thing. If where you want to go is a life of joy and fulfillment, of love, of humbleness, forgiveness, and clarity, you need to know where you are now. That's what emotional awareness will show you. So look around. What are the street signs? Well, emotional awareness will show you if you're at the intersection of righteousness and anger. Mm-hmm. It'll show you if you are at the intersection of appreciation and gratitude. And then you can begin your journey. If you're at the intersection of appreciation and gratitude, you're already where you want to go, and maybe you didn't recognize it. But if you're at the intersection of judgment and impatience, you might have a long way to go to get to joy, appreciation, gratitude. Mm. Or then you might get there pretty quickly if you have intention, courage. Mm. If you follow the authentic power guidelines and use your commitment, courage, compassion, and conscious communication and action. Mm. Well, it's a joy to be able to speak with you about these things that are significant and helpful.
It certainly is. It's really a joy.